But we begin with the other major story that you and I started talking about earlier this week, courtesy of the website badphoenixcops.com, and Channel 5 also got in on it. You know, in Washington, we had in place what were called whistleblower laws. So if someone saw wrongdoing or had concerns, and I guess a lawyer can call and give me the technical differences between malfeasance and misfeasance of office, but suffice to say, when there are mistakes, there is a way for people to blow the whistle. But apparently that does not exist in municipal citation here in the city of Phoenix. Because if you go to KFYI.com and then next to my name, click the entry, you will see some photos that, well, they speak volumes. It is Sergeant Phil Roberts. Now, also, you know, just below this at KFYI.com, there's a click to the 10-page memorandum that was written by Sergeant Phil Roberts, stating his concerns over an investigation that was halted into the question of whether or not an illegal was selling hand grenades on the streets of Phoenix for about $200 a piece back in August. Now, Robert's letter, and of course, we got wind of this. We filed a Freedom of Information Access request. Suddenly, badphoenixcops.com comes up with the memo. And Phil Roberts is demoted permanently. See, here's the thing that really should be our headline. In the wake of allegations, the Phoenix Police Department takes action, but it's the wrong action. You would think that the internal review of the failure to fully investigate such a disturbing charge as an illegal on the streets of Phoenix selling hand grenades, you would think that for public safety and for stopping crime, that would become the imperative. But it's not. In the management style of Jack Harris, and I want to make sure I get his correct title, Assistant City Manager for Public Safety, not Police Chief. He'd like you to call him that, but he's not. If we operate by the procedures put in place by the city, Jack Harris and those immediately beneath him respond to criticism not with thoughtful introspection, but with reflexive vengeance. Now, let me be fair about this. Again, you can read the memo on my page at KFYI.com, and some have called saying, why'd you cross out all the names? Well, initially, I wanted to do that because, again, the point I want to make is that it is not about personalities. It is about a process, and the facts there, apart from whomever is involved, the facts from my vantage point, would compel me to say, hey, there is a serious problem here. Let's find out the whys and wherefores of why this chance to bring in the illegal, why it was passed on, why it was never done. Now, look, a couple of female police lieutenants are in the mix here. And they have a history with Sergeant Phil Roberts. Apparently, he had brought up an issue, another workplace problem. This one, an equal opportunity complaint. And so that memo set the stage for, I guess we could call it antipathy, a state of antipathy existing for the two lieutenants against Sergeant Roberts. Unfortunately, these are the same two lieutenants who put the kibosh on the hand grenade investigation. Now, look, let's, for the sake of argument, and knowing that seldom are things black and white, there are always shades of gray. Even in the most successful workplace environment, at times there is miscommunication. And sometimes, for no reason, people don't get along. So, if I'm giving you the notion that this is totally a one-way street, that's not my intent. But it seems more than passing curious that a police sergeant, a 24-year veteran, who stood up for somebody with an equal opportunity complaint, essentially butted heads with two female police lieutenants in that instance, was admonished verbally, as I understand it, about how that particular memo was unhelpful, and then does it again. So today, Sergeant Phil Roberts is demoted permanently to patrol status. Now, I'm not going to go into hysterics or histrionics, because I'm not right on top of the situation. I don't know everything that goes on here. But coming up, Mark Spencer of the Phoenix Law Enforcement Association will offer his point of view, and for the record, Mark, we plea is, in common parlance, the cops union. And yeah, Mark has an advocacy on behalf of those who are members of his association. Let's acknowledge that going in. But at the very least, again, without hysterics and histrionics, the mayor and city council ought to put in place whistleblower protections that extend, yes, especially that extend to those who wear the badge and walk the thin blue line.
Michael Savage, tonight at 7. J.D. Hayworth, now on News Talk 550 KFYI.
KFYI.com.
You and I talked about it earlier this week, the disturbing assertion that an illegal alien in the last part of August was in town with, what, 60-some grenades, trying to sell them at $200 a piece. Seems to me it's something that you'd want to investigate thoroughly, completely, and rather quickly. And yet we've got a memo posted that takes us through steps that, well, sidelined, sidetracked, and eliminated that investigation. And now the police sergeant who wrote the 10-page memo asking for an internal investigation has been demoted. That does not sit well with Mark Spencer of the Phoenix Law Enforcement Association. Mark is on our newsmaker line. Mark, welcome back to KFYI.
JD, it's good to be here. Nice talking to you.
Now, let's, for purposes of full disclosure, as I was saying going into the break, you are an advocate, obviously, for workplace conditions, and we understand that going in. But it seems to me there are some standards that people of goodwill can agree upon, and it would seem to me that if an organization is tasked with law enforcement, when there is a threat like this, it's a no-brainer to carry out a thorough and complete investigation. As you understand it, what happened there, and moreover, what are the implications now for the sergeant who wrote the memo and I guess had to clean out his desk in the robbery division today?
Yeah, absolutely, J.D. You mentioned an important term there, organization. Well, you don't have an organization unless you have people. And people are key components, and in this case, employees, Phoenix police officers, make the organization work. And in the situation that we're talking about, J.D., it's more than just a hand grenade story. Don't get me wrong. That's illegal in the city, selling 60 hand grenades. It's important. But what we're seeing is more than just that hand grenade story. It's a pattern, J.D., of upper-level police management making dangerous decisions, and they're just not being held accountable for it. When you can do anything you want, J.D., and you won't be held liable, you'll do anything you want, regardless of the negative impact on those around you.
So the shorthand memo, and I'm sure you can recite other cases, criticize the administration of the Phoenix Police, count on it, the administration will retaliate against the person offering the criticism.
Oh, absolutely. And Sergeant Roberts, he complied with policy. We have an obligation as Phoenix police officers, as employees of the city of Phoenix, to report misconduct. When he did it, he was punished. When you cry in the Phoenix Police Department foul on a manager, that makes you fair game. And he's a classic example of the retaliation that we see officers who risk their lives on a daily basis subjected to. I would suggest, J.D., that 95% of the stress and pressure that Phoenix police officers face isn't from the bad guy. I know what the bad guy's going to do. I understand where he's coming from. It's the manager behind you second-guessing your decisions and holding you liable when you question his own misconduct.
Well, let me just ask you this. I came on the air this afternoon talking about we have whistleblower protections in federal law. When I served in the Congress of the United States, is there anything similar for law enforcement, or because of the notion of having to follow orders and the almost paramilitary, is that not a good idea?
Well, clearly our role is to protect our members and make sure they're compensated and equipped properly, and we work closely with the city's EEO department and also with the Attorney General and the federal government. But what we're seeing again and again, J.D., is once again it's a pattern of poor and dangerous decisions. Let me give you some examples. One, we had an immigration policy that restricted us from contacting ICE. That's a no-brainer. If you see a federal crime, allow the officer to make contact with ICE. When that policy was finally modified, I think what you saw were a couple things. Crime rates were falling. The quality of life improved. 9 out of 10 of our officers, J.D., still have no access to rifles, and they're still not allowed to make a private purchase. Our booking process was just recently reported to us yesterday, was made even more complicated and time-consuming. That equates to taking officers off the street. Let's talk about officers, J.D. We have a vacancy in the Phoenix Police Department of 383. Those are 383 holes. That almost equates to 2 precincts. You have citizens working with Judicial Watch addressing the pension issue taking place in upper-level management. You have a crime lab in the Phoenix Police Department that has 2 multi-million-dollar lawsuits pending against them, one being $22 million. We have over 20 EEO complaints within the Phoenix Police Department.
Mark, what you're laying out for me is a litany of concern, and it is just illustrated now in the latest situation where a 24-year veteran has had to clean out his belongings. He's permanently been demoted back to patrol for having the temerity to raise a question about supervisors. Mark, I want to thank you for your time. I know this is something we're going to continue to talk about.
Absolutely, J.D. You take care.
Thank you very much. Mark Spencer of PLEA.